Welcome back to the Garage Series. My name is Jeremy Chapman.
And I'm Tarek Shipov.
So we're going to do now part two of our show, where we answer your questions about using the new office.
And again, share some of the lesser known ninja tips.
Welcome back, Mr. Ninja.
Good to be here.
But before we get started with all of the demos and all things we're going to show, let's have a look at today's trivia question.
True or false? With Link, you can see the online presence of other Link users outside of your organization, or even friends logged into Skype.
So stay tuned for the answer at the end of the show. So this is part two in the series. We're going to answer even more questions about using the new office. So let's get started. So Zelma Tyson writes, when I send a document for review, what's the best way to capture feedback? Now this has evolved quite a bit over the years. When you think about track changes, it would show you generally a view of all the different markup within that document. With the new office and the new version of Word that we'll show in a second, we streamline that with a simple markup by default. So let's take a look at that. So when I open Word, I'm going to go to my Northland proposal document. And there I will see that it will actually let me resume reading where I left off last time, a new feature in roaming settings in the new office. And now I'm going to enable track changes. Now when I do that, any change I make is captured. So I write any change is captured. And I can see here that it's in simple markup, so I can see the final version of that document. But when I click on the change bars on the right, I'll be able to see a more extended markup of all the things that were changed in the document, color coding of who's made the changes, and even comments from other contributors in the doc. One of the new things that we've added to this version of Word is the ability to, and this version of Office, is the ability to do threaded comments. So within that section of the document, I can comment back to Alex, who would like to see a table, and say that I will add it. So beyond that, Tal, what do you have?
Well, if you wake up in the morning in a particularly distrustful mood, and you're concerned that the document will get back to you from a review, but someone may accidentally simply toggle off track changes, you can ensure that that doesn't happen. Let's see how. So you can see here that when I go and I click track changes to enable it, I have right below it a down pointing arrow with the option to lock tracking. And here I'm being prompted to enter the password, which I'm doing right now. And this means that only people with this password can stop tracking changes. So as long as it's there, you know that all the changes will be fully tracked and you will be aware of everything that happened in the document. Jeremy?
Thanks, Tal. So another question that we get quite a bit, and this one's from Helena Calhoun. How do I collaborate with people who do not own a copy of Office, don't have it installed on their PCs? Well, we've done quite a bit of work in terms of enabling Office and access to Office from just about any PC using the Office web apps. Let me show you a quick look of what that looks like doing real-time co-authoring between an installed copy of Office and the web app. So on the left here, I've got my installed copy of Office. I'm logged in as Katie Jordan, and I can see the slides. I've also got another copy logged in as Alex Darrow on the right-hand side. And here I can see I've got two co-authors on the dock, and I can also make changes to, in this case, the word commitment. When I save those changes, Alex, who's logged in just via the browser, is able to see those changes as they're made once I hit that save button. So very quickly, I can see any changes that were made. But I know that you've got more to share there, Tal, so what do you got?
Well, let's say that you're interested in bigger scale collaboration, and I'm not talking about a group, I'm talking about going public outright. So in this case, I have here a document that is on my SharePoint Online, and I'm generating a guest link which gives only viewing permissions. And what I want to do now is go to the public side of the company and post it there so our customers can see that too. So I'm, as you can see, I signed in and I'm going to the page that I want to edit and add the link to. I'll go to the right place in the paragraph and simply select the spot where I want to insert the link. I'll click Insert Link. I already have the address copied. We just did that, so I'll go ahead and in the address line simply paste. And you can also change the text to display. And you can see that right now we have there the link. you can add the options of opening it in a new tab, so your site will still remain open, and also choose to display an icon next to it, so it's more easily understandable that this is a document. Once you're happy with that, don't forget, of course, to save. And as a reminder, once you save something on a site, it's not fully published until you actually hit publish this draft. Now we'll go with Control-Shift-P, which is the shortcut to turn on in-private browsing. So we have another browser where I'm not signed in right now. And you can see that it's as if I'm an external visitor visiting this site. I'm clicking the link to the document, and you can see that it opens in the Word web app. And this is an external visitor who may not have Office at all, but they can still have the full, rich, 100% fidelity viewing experience of Office files thanks to this experience on top of SharePoint. Jeremy?
Thanks, Tal. So lots of ways to really get an Office experience, even if you don't have Office installed, using the power of the web apps. So beyond that, I get a question quite a bit in terms of performance and also around talking to others outside of an organization using Link. So in this case, Horace writes, I want to use Link to do video chats with people and some only use Skype, some of the people that I do video chats with. How can this work? Let me show you what that looks like, Horace. So here I'm logged in with Link, and I've got Tal logged in on the left-hand side in Link, and I've got Steve Chu on the right. Now, if I open up a contact outside of my organization, in this case, I'll type garageseries@outlook.com, and that will then let me see the Garage Series, which happens to be Steve Chu and the Skype desktop app on the right-hand side. When I make a Link call using Link, it will actually contact through Link into Skype and make a call to, in this case, Steve Chu, who's logged in on the same computer, and you'll see that there's now communication between Link and Skype. Now, when I end that call, I'll also see a request to add, in this case, Tal, to my contacts list, and that will then fire up presence inside of the Link client for Tal on Link. So now I can even see the presence, whether or not Steve is online in Skype, and communicate directly with him via instant message, audio, or video chat. So pretty cool stuff in terms of talking to people outside of my company using just Skype through Link. So Tal, I know you've got more to explain there. What do you got?
And the following tip is aimed at you, dear Mr. Admin. If you're in a particularly generous mood or it's actually a business need of your company, you can very easily enable this kind of connectivity between internal users and external folks. So let's see that in the Link Admin Center. And you can see that you have under the Organization tab the option to check off the box that turns on the communication with Skype users and other public IM service providers. You can also block below domains like peopleidontlike.com. Once you're happy with these settings, you can see that a user can go into Link and actually add a content not in my organization, whether it's Link or Skype, will enter their IM address. And once it's there, it's added to the contacts. When a person is in the contacts, it's very easy to ping them simply by double-clicking or right-clicking and choosing send an IM. And now I can ping Celine and say hi. And the neat thing is that you see also Celine's full presence information. So I can see whether she's online, whether she's in a meeting, et cetera. So I know to ping her when she's actually available. Jeremy?
Awesome stuff. So whether they've got Link installed or not, or they're using Skype, we can see if they're online and be able to communicate with people outside of the company, which is really, really cool. So beyond that, we get a question quite a bit, moving back to PowerPoint. When I share a presentation with a video via Link, it looks choppy. Please fix this. Well, thanks for your spirited feedback, Betty. We have a way to do that, and we also have an explanation as to what is indeed happening behind the scenes. Let's take a look. So right now I'm in PowerPoint, and you can see I've got my Northwind and Contoso slide deck open. And typically what I might do is share the desktop. Now that's one way that I can do that. And when I share the desktop, it's basically sharing a remote image of the entire desktop and everything that's on the desktop to other viewers of that Link meeting. Now another thing that I can do instead of sharing the entire desktop is instead of doing that, I can add a PowerPoint presentation to the Link server. Now, when I add the PowerPoint presentation to the Link server, that's basically going to load that into Link, and you can see here it's uploading the Northwind proposal presentation right to the Link server. And now viewers of the Link meeting actually see a shared copy of that document. And the great thing is they can actually advance through those slides, and in terms of addressing that question about video earlier, because it's using the PowerPoint web app, it will address any of that choppiness issue that you have with showing video over a remote presentation via Link, because it's not remoting into the desktop of the presenter. So Tal, beyond that and all of the great annotations that we can do there, what else do you have for us in terms of your ninja tip?
Well, one of the things we wanted to ensure with the new office is that you can do whatever you're trying to do from where you are rather than look for the right tool to do it. So in this case, like Jeremy just showed, you can certainly share a PowerPoint presentation from within Link. But let's say that the Link meeting is running and you just fired up PowerPoint here. You can simply go to the slideshow tab and go to present online, choose Link, and you'll see a list of all the Link open Link meetings. You simply click on the one that you desire, you click OK, and this very same thing happens now. The presentation is being loaded to the server and will be presented through the PowerPoint web app. The neat thing about it is that we were able to achieve that using PowerPoint and initiating it from there, so you don't need to switch between applications looking for the right command. Jeremy?
Thanks, Tal. So very cool stuff in terms of sharing PowerPoint presentations and doing that and keeping peak performance for the viewers of your presentation. So beyond that, I get a question a lot back to PowerPoint. Why does PowerPoint flicker? In this case, Noel writes, I hate how PowerPoint flickers when I present. What's happening here and how do I make it stop? Well, actually, that's a feature that we're doing with PowerPoint in terms of how we show the presenter view and showing an extended display. So let's explain the underpinnings of how that works. So here I'm within PowerPoint, and you can see I've got my presentation open. If I look at slideshow, by default, we have use presenter view checked. And what that means is that even though when I'm in Windows, and I say I hit Windows P, I'll see that I'm in duplicate mode in terms of what I'm presenting. And then normally that would duplicate what's on my screen. But if I present here, because I've got use presenter view checked, it's going to actually change the Windows video setting to an extend mode. So I go to hit Windows P here and I'll see extend has been selected. So we've actually changed the settings in terms of how we extend our displays out to another display. And when I'm in the presenter view, I can see the slide I'm on. I can also see the next slide. I can see all of my notes. So I have a backstage view, essentially, of all the things in my presentation that my audience won't see through the main monitor. And I can advance the slides and do all of that from the presenter view and have full control. So when I go back into the presentation, you'll see that the screen flickers back because it is changing the window settings back to duplicate the display, as we saw there. And if I want to eliminate that flicker altogether, because I have memorized my slides perhaps, I can unclick the Use Presenter View and then present from the top, and you'll see there was no flicker because we didn't change the driver settings around Windows and how it's going to use multiple monitors. So I know that you've got more to elaborate on that, Tal. Tell us what you got.
So the question is there more beyond the next slide and the speaker notes that there is in Presenter View? What other great benefits does it offer? Well, let's check first what happens when I'm just in slideshow in duplicate. And you can see that I can use some of the great touch interaction as I swipe between the slides. I can very easily also pinch with my fingers to zoom out and go into the slide navigator, which gives me a visual cue of all the thumbnails of the slides. And I can jump in between the different sections. And I can even zoom in if I want by simply expanding my fingers. Now, the thing is, because I'm in duplicate mode, everything that I'm seeing on my screen is also shown on the bigger screen for my audience. Now, let me go back to the presentation and now check presenter view again and start the slideshow from the beginning. So now it's going to flicker again as PowerPoint Contacts Windows changes the settings to extend, and now presenter view is on my screen and the slide that I'm projecting is on the main screen for the audience. But as I go now by pinching into Slide Navigator, only I see the Slide Navigator, and my audience sees the last slide that I projected. And only when I tap and select a slide to go into from the Navigator, does my audience see the new slide that I selected. And of course, I can zoom in right from here too, while of course still enjoying the next slide and the notes. So it's a great view, a full command and control for your presentation so you can give a masterful performance. Jeremy?
Thank you. And I love the presenter view, making lots of presentations here, even at the garage. So another question that we get, speaking of navigating and sifting through things, Excel and data, I got a question here from Elise Pace, who says, I'd like to be able to make better charts in Excel. Is there anything in Office to help? So beyond just charting, you know, Excel's around looking through your data, visualizing data, and also helping you work with your data. We've done a lot of work there with the new Office, the new version of Excel, to help make you more efficient. So let's have a look at some of the things that we've done here. So here I've got a table, and I've copied in something from an online source, and you can see that a lot of what would normally be columns in Excel have been combined into this data column A. Now, one cool thing with Excel that we can do now is flash fill. And basically, as I start typing words, it's seeing all the different data sets that I've got here in the data column, and it's actually querying those and filling and predicting what I want to write. So here I write events and advertising, and it does that and fills those that entire column in for me. Now, the cool thing is I can actually combine two different columns if I want to as well. So in this case, I'm going to take Ryan from the data column and his last name Place from the rep column B, and it will actually combine those two columns and also do flash fill in terms of combining two different column sources. Now back to data visualization. So one of the cool things, when I do select some data, I'll see quick analysis here, the pop-up there in the corner. And here I can do some conditional formatting. So as I hover over data bars or color scale or icon set, I can see a very quick view, actually live preview of what those look like when I add that to the amount column. Also with charts, as I look over and hover over the line and clustered bar and all the different chart types, I can see a quick preview of all of those different charts. And some of the summation and other totals controls, also very, very easy in terms of visualizing the data and some of the totals there. Now I'm inside the tables view, and I can look at different pivot table recommendations. And if I want to look at even more of those and kind of have a visualization of what it will produce, I can go into more and I can scroll down to even more pivot table representations there. And here I'm going to select the sum amount by rep, and I'll see my pivot table's been generated. So even without knowing how to create a pivot table manually, it's auto-generated that pivot table for me, so I can very quickly and very easily slice and dice my data. So I know beyond all of that visualization, all the cool stuff to get through and process your data, Tal, you have a ninja tip for us, right?
Yeah. So especially with geographical data, you may want to show something more than just a chart or a table. And you can easily do that. What I'll go ahead and do is go to the Insert and choose Apps for Office and select the Bing Maps app for Excel, which is one of my favorite. And you can see that it enters a frame of a map right there to the spreadsheet. I can position it where I want, select the data in a table that I want to visualize, and click on the button to plot it. And you can see that this is a real Bing Maps app. It's fully interactive. I can zoom, I can pan. I can click any of the data points on the map to see exactly the related amounts. And that makes the entire experience a lot more powerful. But this is just one example for an application or an app for Office and SharePoint. If you want to see more, you can go again to the Insert tab and say check See All. Click on the Featured Apps and see a wide variety. You even have a search box here to search for more. But you can also check them out on office.com website under the store. You have their section for apps for Office and SharePoint, and you can select the app that is relevant for you. You can see right here that we have some apps that are for a fee, some are free, and all of these will certainly enhance your experience within Office. Jeremy?
Thanks, Tal. So that's about all the time we have for the tips on this show. But before we wrap up, let's have a look at today's trivia answer.
True or false? With Link, you can see the online presence of other Link users outside of your organization, or even friends logged into Skype.
So of course the answer was true.
Yeah, as we just saw, it's very easy to see the online presence of others on Link or Skype as long as your admin enabled it.
Right, outside of your organization and even on like consumer services for communication. So we've covered a lot of ground with both of these shows in terms of all the basic questions that we get around using Office across Microsoft accounts, how to install it, all the different Office apps.
And you learned some useful ninja tips, so all that remains now is for you to go and exercise your mastery.
Right, and all of this information and more can be found at microsoft.com/garage. Happy New Year's, everybody, and we will see you next time.
Happy New Year.